Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning. This is Ursula Odom with NABWIC and our Wednesday show. Well, we are live today. Well, partially. We are, you know, my grandmother always said, when at first you don't succeed, you try and try again until you do. Well, what we're going to do today is that I'm going to have a pre-recorded show, but we wanted to be sure that we could connect with you. So that's what's going to happen today. And once we hear the interview with Ms. Deidre Hilberg, then you have been invited to call in and talk about some of the things that was discussed in during our interview. And I'm excited about it because it's great information. So let's get started.
Good morning. Welcome to NABWIC's Wednesday show. This is Ursula Odom, and I'm so excited about today's show because I have as a guest coming up, Deidre Hilberg. Deidre is the president and CEO of Hilberg Electrical Supply, LLC, DBA, ATS Energy Products. She founded Hilberg Electrical Supply and certified as a minority business company in 2003. And she successfully embarked in the electrical supply industry. She's expanded ATS from an electrical product supplier to selling products for the green energy sector through the DBA ATS Energy Products. She believes in giving back, mentoring, and providing room for diversity in the electrical industry. Deidre is a think-out-of-the-box type of person with superior networking skills and a sharp eye for quality products and future market trends. She's always looking for work with manufacturers with innovative and advanced products. She understands the competitive advantage of strategic alliances and strong relationships. I present to you Deidre Hilberg.
Good morning, Ms. Deidre. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and the Wednesday show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm just fine. Excited about hearing your story today.
Okay.
We had a great conversation talking about this show, so that's why I'm all excited, because I know you have a lot to say and a lot of good things that I know I want to hear, and I'm sure my audience does as well.
Okay.
So let's get started by...
Okay.
Telling us how, in fact, did you get associated with NABWIC and that organization?
I met a wonderful lady several years ago, maybe about 6 years ago. I was in Washington, D.C., and she was stating, we were talking about, you know, women in construction, and, you know, I was from New York, and she wanted to know more of what was going on, and she was talking to me about NABWIC, and she says, you know, there's a wonderful organization you need to get to know. And so the meeting went well, you know, her and I talked, and then I went back, and we kind of, like, lost contact for about 2 years, and we got back in contact, and she said, Anne was there, but I didn't see her at the conference. We never connected, but I picked up some information, and I kept saying I was going to get back in contact, and I didn't. And one day I said, I wonder what's going on with this organization, and just connected with you guys. Just called up, say I want to become a member, and here I am.
And given the products and services that you offer, has it made a difference in your life?
Well, yeah, you got to understand, I'm in an industry where there is very few black women in this industry. So it didn't come easy, okay? So when you talk about the electrical industry, you're talking about a vast industry. People presume that you automatically you're a contractor or you're in the engineering services, but when you say supplies and then you say what type of supplies that you have, they're kind of taken back. So I don't sell retail. I started off that way, and that didn't work out. So, you know, in my story, in my journey, there's different phases of how we got to where we are now.
Okay, so that's what I want to hear when you talk about the different phases, because when you say something does not work, then we want to know what didn't work, because that's the very thing that can save some people some agony.
Well, you got to...
Even if it's not your particular product and service, it could be just about business in general.
Mm-hmm. True.
So tell us about that journey.
Well, I never was in an industry where they didn't want my money. It's hard to imagine, you know, when you put a business plan together and you do your research and you say, okay, I'm ready, you have your money and you're getting ready to go to buy your goods so you can resell, and no one wants to sell to you. You don't plan for that. No merchant plans for that. Anyone in commodities do not plan for that. And so I quickly realized that I was in an industry where it was, and I have no problem saying it because it's the truth even to this day, it's a white man's industry, okay? And, you know, to have a woman of color in the industry, they were like, well, who are you? And, you know, there was different things, like I would try to buy from the manufacturers. They said, no, you got to go through the distributors. And it was just being bounced around. And it was the start of it was a hard journey. You know, we invested into a retail storefront store in the neighborhood in Hempstead. And I put up my racks and I put up everything and called up. They wouldn't show up. Wouldn't sell me, so I couldn't sell the products. So I almost lost my shirt. It was a really rough time financially. It says, okay, you know what? Let me try something different. And so we just kept pushing. And then we got an opportunity where we had a strategic relationship, did that for a little while, and then still there is that pushback. But I did not let someone's no define, you know, who I am. You know, you take a no and you turn that into an opportunity. We have a right to have a business. And so you reinvent yourself. And so at that time, the green industry, you know, fell in love with solar panels and what was going on with the whole Go Green movement, and got to meet new manufacturers who were hungry. It was about saving the planet, and it was a different type of feel and a different, we all had one goal. Okay, how do we save our planet? You know, how do we become a little more sustainable? And through that, I was able to get involved, open up with different manufacturers, and, you know, and that helped us to keep our footing in the industry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you evolved into doing what?
Well, Well, when you're small, the bigger companies finally get on board, and then they, you know, they can outmarket you, they can do this, they can do that, and before you know it, they're gone with it. But and then I started getting into more of the power management. So that's the backup batteries. That's your UPSs. It's more of the IT switches, switch gear, you know, the generators, power, smart grid. You may know it. Anything that can help your utility companies, your substation companies, infrastructure, that's our niche. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I hear you talk about this, it occurred to me that there's a part of the story that we really need to hear that we haven't even touched on, and that's
mm-hmm.
how in the heck did you even get involved in this? Because with I know that's the whole nature of women in construction. That story is probably true for almost everybody in this organization.
Mm-hmm.
But as I talk to each person individually, it has to be an incredible moment when this happened for you. How did you get the idea or even the courage or whatever it takes to move out on your own in an industry that talks about backup batteries, and that doesn't sound like women at all.
Okay, so I tell you what happened. 26 years ago, my son, who's in the military now, when he was 2 months old, he had a cousin of the SIDS, apnea, and he stopped breathing in my arms.
Oh my
and when
Lord.
You have a child who goes lifeless in your arms, and, you know, I was working in the banking industry. He was 2 months old. They did mouth-to-mouth. He came back, you know, the whole bit, and God is good. I had a situation. The situation was no one really wanted to take care of a child that had that type of apnea because of a fear.
Mm.
Okay? That this kid may stop breathing while he's sleeping. So I have three beautiful children and two girls and one boy, and it just became very difficult. So we looked for daycare. I finally find a wonderful lady to do the daycare, and for whatever personal reasons, she had to stop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And our world shook, just really shook. And so, therefore, she said, you know what, you might have to do this. You might have to get into daycare. And she explained that to me, and I'm like, that's really not my thing. I'm going to tell you. She said, oh, you're a good mother. You'll be able to do it. I was like, that. But I had to do it. And so we had just bought our home. He was with another daycare person. Things didn't work out. I was like, okay, I got to do this. And I quit my job and stayed home. Did what I need to do for training, opened up a daycare, and I was home with my kids for a few years. Well, the few years passed by real quick. I think I was in daycare for about 10 years. Kids were older, and I was like, okay, this is nice, but this is not me. I'm ready to do something else, but I can't go back in corporate America. So one of my friends, I was very involved in another organization, and the president of that organization, she said, she's a civil engineer by trade. She said, you know, you're a good salesperson. I said, no, I don't do sales. She said, no, you're a good salesperson. You should really get into that. I said, nah, I'm not getting into that. One day we were on the phone, and we were talking, and I was actually complaining about my husband, like most wives do. I really was.
Oh, really?
He's an electrician by trade. He's an electrician. No, he's an electrician. And so I tell you, this stuff started coming into the garage. I was like, what's this? What's that? That's electrical tape. What's this? Those are knockouts. What does that mean? What's this? What's that? And I started asking some questions and, you know, fussing about that. And so her and I was just on the phone, just talking and just kicking it. And I was fussing about it. And she said, well, why don't you sell that stuff? You know, you can. You said you wanted to do something different. You can open up a mom and pop store, or you know, what have you, an electrical store. You could do this. You could do that. I said, nah, you crazy? She said, no, seriously. Why not? She said, I told you you're good in sales. I said, no, I really don't think so. But she said, you know enough about business. You can do that. I said, yeah, okay. So I looked up the industry. I started looking at electrical sales. I started looking and researching. And I said, you know what? I can do this. And I did my research. I contacted small business development centers, got my business plan together, got everything together, took out refinance, and that's when I got the storefront in Hempstead, New York, and bought racks and was prepared to buy and stock up to have something in our community, because at our community, we didn't have like a Home Depot. This was way before Home Depot even came in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have anything in our community, okay? And I got a story about that, but that's another time. That's funny. One guy did show up, and he he was worried about his Beamer. Like, you in the hood, man. Do you see what cars? They had better cars than him. I said, nobody thinking about your 3-4-year-old Beamer. You good? You good? You all right? But, you know, he was one of the few that actually was nice enough to just tell me. He said, they're not going to sell to you. And that's when the realization, I looked at my salesman, and I said, what? He said, we said, what? He was like, yo, man, she got some money to pay for it. Come on, you know. He was like, can't do it. So as much as I was excited about the industry, well, they weren't excited about us. But things have changed. I don't think.
Well, that is exactly what I was going to say when you were talking about what they wouldn't do back then.
Mm-hmm.
Today, with the internet, sometimes they may not know who they're selling to. So,
you know what?
How has it changed for you?
Well, let me say, in all honesty, that's really not true. The industry is very large, but it's very small, very close knit. Everybody know everybody, or know us, mm-hmm. everybody. It's not one of those. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm just going to open up a .com and just sell on the internet, and it just can't, because you're dealing with a group of manufacturers, and the products that we sell, you have to be careful, because there's restrictions of certain products going out of the country, mm-hmm. warranties. It's a lot different. It's a lot different. So when you're going into construction materials, you know, it's different than other industrial materials, such as like mops and brooms and jars and safety gloves. You're talking about medium and high voltage products. Rules and regulations that we have to abide by.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different. It's a little different. So people know who's who, where you're from, what region. It's very, you know, I would say, I don't want to use the word control, but it is in a sense.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what are the good things about the organization, not organization, the industry today? I mean,
well,
obviously
you know what?
You're successful now. So what have you learned?
Technology. And the other thing I learned is it's their problem, not mine. it's truly their problem, not mine. It's not mine. You know, because as a business owner, if I can't hire, I can't impart economical progress. And so with all of the chatter and all of the talk, if you try to impede me, then you're hypocritical. Then you have a problem.
And
okay?
I think I know exactly
what I'm saying here?
I do.
So
either you help me or you take care of me.
I'm saying as a business owner, Mm-hmm. Okay? We are to grow our business, and we are to build our communities, and that's called economic development.
Right.
If I'm not able to hire, or anyone is trying to keep me from being able to grow so I can hire and to contribute to the business and the community and economic development, and you can say for the country or however you want to put it, then that's very hypocritical.
It is.
Okay? All right?
And
because
really, when you think about that, when you say it's hypocritical, it's when you have people so desperately want to be a part of the productive part of this country,
right,
and then you put something in front of them to impede that.
That's right.
That makes no sense at all.
No.
It really doesn't.
No. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I grew up fourth generation self-employed. I was blessed as a young girl to see my granddaddy, knew about my grandmother, knew about my great-grandparents, you know, my parents. I've seen businesses. I've grew up in Brooklyn, you know, the cleaners, Miss May, you know, everybody on the block, they were black-owned businesses. You know, I'm dating myself, but that's okay, too, because this is what I saw as a child. So, you know, my granddaddy had the candy store on Moore Street. Miss May and her husband had the cleaners. You know, there was the, you know, convenience store. I mean, these were all black business owners.
You know that's
you know,
comfortable,
and I mean,
right?
To see your travel agency. I've heard about the story. I was raised being told about the Black Wall Street. This was embedded in me. I mean, you know, it was like, okay, well, you know, you can get your education, you can get a job, but, you know, you need to have your side hustle, or, you know, if you want, you should make your own money. I mean, this was something that I've always heard, something that I saw. So it was, you know, but now you look, you don't see that many of us. But we are here. Black businesses
yes.
are here. You know, but we got to learn how to work with one another and build up one another and, you know, come together collectively to grow.
Now, to that point, there are a couple of things I want to say about what you just said. When you said what you saw as you were a child, I know firsthand the importance of that because my grandmother had a grocery store before I was born, and in fact, long before I was born. However, there was or is a photograph of her sitting in front of that store with my aunt and my cousins, and they were drinking a soda. And there was a 5-cent Coke sign on that store. So it proved that it was a legitimate grocery store, right? And that one little image put the entrepreneurial spirit in me forever.
Right.
I could just be happy on a job and be fine. You know, I know how to be an employee.
That's right.
No. I want to find ways to do things that is, you know, because of my own efforts and the rewards and the learning process, whatever that means in terms of being an entrepreneur. I'm constantly looking for that idea or that process. So what somebody puts in front of your face as a child is really important, and you're seeing that multiple times.
Right.
Is really, really fascinating, and we need to acknowledge just how important that is. And then the other thing that you were talking about, that you were, I was visualizing that the people in the community and the businesses that were all black owned, well, that's the new wave right now, that there are people are talking about putting together communities where it's self-sustaining, where they're owned by black people. And I have my theory about why that is right now. I won't go into that. But, you know, to me, that's all good.
I call
good.
It China.
So,
yeah.
Whatever the motivation, I like the idea. And if we come together and start creating these little communities where we can all boats rise with the spending of our own money within our own communities, I think that's all good.
Oh yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's really important. You have several of our generations that were taught get your education and become a good worker. And it don't make a difference whether you have your master's or PhD. If you don't own the company, you are a worker.
Yep.
You can say you're professional. You know, in other people's eyes, it's just a job. You're not the visionary. You're not the entrepreneur. And they have the talent. We have the talent in our community. We are gifted. We have so much talent.
Yes, we do.
We're so blessed. And, you know, we didn't teach our children. I didn't realize it until I got a little older that some of my, you know, colleagues who are entrepreneurs, they, it came through them, but they were never, it was never told to them, you can be an entrepreneur. You can leave a legacy.
But you know what? Now, this raises a question, and I could be wrong, and I'm just thinking of it as you're saying this, is that there's something we do or that I've seen done that is prohibitive for us telling those stories. When we're successful as an individual in the community and you start telling about that, then it is translated into bragging.
And that's a sickness in our community. That's called brainwash, okay? That's being divisive and that's being brainwashed. See, the problem with our community is if I win, you win.
Yes.
If you don't win, I don't win. And we lost that. We lost that family unit. We lost the, you know, if you walk down the street, this is Auntie Ruby, that's Auntie Irene. Everybody used to watch out for each other's children. Now we have a community who is fearful to say anything because there, you know, there's other things that's going on in our community. People are afraid of getting shot because you didn't mind your business, or, you know, it's just a lot of negativity. But the majority is good. Everything that you see on TV does not actually reflect what's actually going on in our community. But we got to learn how to trust one another. We got to learn how to lift one another. And that's a problem. It's a lot of brainwashing. We have to come together as one and
now,
grow.
And to that end, that's one of the things that I personally happen to like about black women in construction, because, first of all, I'm impressed with these women.
Me too.
Holy
me
mackerel,
too.
They
me
do
too.
What?
Me too. Yes.
And then I hear one person giving information to another person and letting them know about something that's taking place. And just being in the environment, I have made contact with people that are coming to talk to them that I, you know, it's like a whole story behind that. So I see NABWIC as somewhat of the community for this industry and black women.
Oh yeah, I see it too. And I'm hoping that more will grow, especially in the STEM industry. You know, I see a great future. The journey. We all have a horror story. We all been through something. You can't be self-employed. You can't be an entrepreneur and not go through anything. Okay. And that's for everybody, okay?
True.
Some for us, it's usually a little harder, okay? You know, people talk about, oh, well, we had the glass ceiling. Well, you know what? Listen, I would like to know what a glass ceiling feels like, because mine is made out of concrete with some steel and some granite and some this and that, okay? You know, and then I finally get to the glass, and now I can see, and there's still a film there, and I have to kick that down. We have the right, we have the audacity to be who we are and be beautifully made, so therefore more young women can come behind us And that's what it's about. I don't want to leave here and there's no one who can take my place.
Wow.
And who can, you know, double or triple excel, do 100% more than what I did. If I leave here and that doesn't happen, I failed.
It's funny you should say that just that way, and I won't go off on a tangent on this, but one of the things that make me proud is that whenever one of my daughters does anything better than I did it, then I mark that as a success.
It is.
I am very proud of that. It's like I don't have to be the best. I want to provide a stepping stone for you to do better than me. I'll give you all that I know, and then you add to it. And when you add to it, then you're going to be better than me because you know everything I know plus what you added.
Exactly. Because I have a daughter who's self-employed. She's fifth generation.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. And so, you know, and I know the one that's working with me is going to eventually have her own thing one day or end up taking over this, you know, and I can see that happening. So, you know, and you want your grandchildren, but you also want your community, too, to also be involved and to grow and to know that, you know, they have a right to be an entrepreneur. They have a right to be an entrepreneur.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice. So you mentioned the word future.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like you to do at this point is to highlight what your signature products are right now, signature services are now that you're offering, because I know I took you way back to talk about things that you may or may not be doing right now. So let's clear it up for the audience. What are you doing now?
Okay.
And what do you see the future being like? Or what are your goals?
Well, so the products that, power management, what does that mean? That's battery backups. That's your UPSs. So people who are in IT, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Patch cables, grid products, relays, transformers, arrestors. I see we do some lighting, LED lighting, anything that's energy efficient products that we sell. We sell B2B, business to business. I'm hopeful. I'm a little more than hopeful. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited. I think there is so much going on in technology, you can't keep up with it. You know, it's like how you get a phone and, you know, 6 months later, you know, this new technology coming out. It's constantly evolving. We sell cybersecurity products. So I'm believing to grow larger, to be able to hire, and to be able to do more for our business and the community and, you know, be able to, I would like to mentor. I would like to get out there. I like to, when I go to retire, I would like to sit, you know, on score because you don't see anybody at the SBA that looks like us on score. And I like to sit and be part of that because I think there's a lot we can give back. It's about access. It's about access and how do we attain it. You know, I'm a woman of faith, so, you know, I look at things a lot differently from some other people, but just to open up their mind to understand that, you know, you have a right to access. So that excites me.
Yeah.
It excites me to see other people grow and prosper. It excites me that we can be self-sustainable. That excites me. And we can change. And that matters.
So for those that are wanting to help you fulfill your dreams and either either one of those areas in terms of your giving back or in terms of buying from you and supporting your business, mm-hmm. if they need to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, they can reach me through the website, which is www.hesep.com, or they can contact us by phone, which is 516-868-8028, extension 301.
And
well,
if you could repeat
they
that.
Can also contact us by email, which is sales@hesep.com, which is sales@hes, as in Sam, E as in Edward, P as in Peter.com.
Okay, one more time if you repeat all of that.
Okay, I'll start with the email first. sales@hsandharry.com The website is www.hesep.com. And the phone number is 516-868-8028. Extension 301.
Okay, well, I have totally enjoyed talking with you this morning.
It was so nice speaking with you as well.
And we can do this again.
Okay,
that's it for today. Thank you for joining in, and come back next week because there's going to be another great guest. See you then.
Okay, that's one thing that's really nice about a pre-recorded show is that you can go back and listen to it. And every time I listen to a show like that, I learn something new. And in the future, this is going to be live, and there will be total live presentations or pre-recorded and live, but you'll have an opportunity to call in and be a part. Now, for NABWIC members, this is a membership benefit. So get in touch with me because it's time for you to tell who you are and what you do. And it is my pleasure to be a host, and I am Ursula Odom, and look forward to a new show next week, Wednesdays, 8:30 a.m., Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.